Crash number 28933, Cyril Pierce, part 11.
Cyril, you were telling us about Thurfield School.
Yeah. There was the job advertised of master in charge of the junior school at Thurfield School in Leatherhead. Now, the school was in two buildings. The main building was in Dilston Road in Leatherhead, where all the third, fourth, fifth and sixth forms was. The separate building was in Kingston Road, where the first and second year were being taught. That amounted to about 400 children. I applied for the job and got it. They called me master in charge, simply as a convenient name, but I was in theory head of the junior school, and that was a mixed school, and again there were more women teachers than men. In fact, there were only three men at the school, the rest were women. Now, most of the teachers, of course, don't know about the wicked wide world. They go from school to teachers' training college. They take a 3 years course, then an extra year to get their degree. They come back into school and they've never met the wide wicked world. So they're complete and utter innocents. This is why I made very few friends at all. Apart, the only real friends I met were ex-servicemen like myself who knew what was what. I was there running that school, and there was also Leatherhead Junior School shared the same playground, but had a completely different building from us. Of course, in those days, we were allowed to administer corporal punishment. As the head of the junior school, I was the only one allowed to punish boys. We weren't allowed to administer corporal punishment to girls. So anybody who had misbehaved or done anything wrong had to be reported to me, and I would then decide whether they should be given detention, or be caned, or given lines. These were for not minor, very minor offences. Bullying was one. Smoking, of course, was another. And if I decided that they needed the cane or the slipper, I then had to call them up to my room, take out the punishment book, fill in the punishment book, name of pupil, class of pupil, age, the misdemeanor committed, number of strokes, and sign it, which of course gave you time to cool down if you had been in a temper. And I used to use the cane at first, but then of course you'll find that the cane does leave marks. And although I never had a complaint, I switched to the slipper. And if I had to punish a boy, I'd simply tell him, right, bend down, and I'd give him six across the bottom with the slipper. And of course, I then got the nickname Fiercy Piercy. I heard one member of staff, heard a boy say, he takes a bloody run at it. And I carried on administering corporal punishment. In 1976, they had built an extension at the main building in Dilson Road, so we had to move the whole school, junior school, from Kingston Road to Dilston Road, where I was still, of course, the head of the junior school, head of the two first and second years. I still punished. I remember I retired as soon as I possibly could, because I'd been paying my police superannuation. All my police service counted as teaching, and I was you were not allowed to retire in those days before the age of 60, unless you were classed medically unfit. I was 60 on the 6th of September 1977, but I retired at the end of August 77, so I lost 5 days' service. But I was able to draw my full pension, of course, which was then, the full pension was 1/80th of your best, the best of the last 3 years' salary for every year you served. So I was able to draw 40/80ths, half the pension. And the lump sum was 1.5 times your last salary. And so I drew that. And of course, this is where this 9 months' service I lost, was deducted from my police service, has counted, because that's been going on now for 27 years. I retired. We did then, as I say, in 1978, our grand tour of the States. Since then, I did have a job at one time, a part-time job, soldering these little boards for electrical devices. With, again, that was with Johnny Johnson, his son, who was running this business. I said he's been a good friend of mine, Johnny has. For 5 years I did that, and then I was eligible to draw my old age pension. So having retired, I wasn't, I thought I'd done my lot. I'd worked for the public, in the police, the Air Force, in teaching. I'd done my stint, and so I didn't do anything else. And I've enjoyed my retirement very much. I've been retired now for 25 years. That's right, isn't it? 70, yes, 25. And I hope I can get another. I would really love to reach the age of 100, so that I could say, I've been drawing a pension for 40 years, and therefore I've had a hell of a lot more money back than I've ever paid in superannuation. So you see, my teaching service just went past without anything really happening. But there is one story I should have told you right at the beginning. Colour blindness. When I joined the Met Police in 36, I was called up for a medical examination at the yard in May 1936. As I'd got school certificate, I was refused all educational exams. I passed the physical without any problems, and for the colour vision test, I went into a room where there was a sergeant, and there was about 24 skeins of knitting wool, about 3 inches long, which had been twisted together, all in a row. And the sergeant said, right, tell me these colours. And I went all along the row, I think they're about 24, pinks, violets, so forth, all the main colours, and all the tints and hues, and I got them all right. I was called up by the RAF, told to report to Euston House on the 17th of December 1941. Now, on the 16th of December, the air raid sirens went off about 9 o'clock, and the first cascade of flares dropped practically overhead, and I knew we were in for a rough night. And they were concentrating on the railway stations. And of course, MacNaughton House was in Judge Street, about a mile away from King's Cross, a mile and a half from Euston, and a mile and a bit from St Pancras. And they were dropping incendiaries, and we had a very, very rough night indeed. And sleep in the section house, of course. As all these incendiaries dropped, all those that they got out and were putting out incendiaries. The all clear went about 5 o'clock in the morning, and I went to bed. I was up again at 7:30, not in the best of moods, had breakfast, reported to Euston House. We did the educational tests, which was an intelligence test where you get those, what they call it, choice of answers, well, multiple choice. An English paper, and I know what, I had to write an essay quite clear on what the effect had been on this country that the Germans had now occupied France, Italy, France, Belgium. And of course, the obvious answer was air raids. And I wrote this essay. We had a maths test, and then while those were being marked, we went for the medical. Had a full medical, and I knew that other people who had been for these tests often called into MacNaughton House, which was close there, for a cup of coffee, and we'd had quite a few stories of what went on there. In fact, we knew a lot of the subjects which were given as the essay. So there was no problem there. And we also knew that part of the medical was blowing into a tube to keep a spot of mercury to a certain level for 1 minute. So I'd been practicing long distance underwater swimming to get my breath going. And so I passed that all right. Then, of course, we came to the eyesight test. I had 20/20 vision. Then the bloke who was testing me, who was, of course, an RAF doctor, said, right, go over there for the vision test, for the colour blindness test. Now, they had these colour blindness cards. Do you know what I mean? A mosaic, about 6 inches square, and they're mosaics, like all little dots. And the bloke handed me one. He said, tell me what letter or number you can see in the middle. I looked at it, couldn't see anything. I squinted, turned my head sideways. I still couldn't see it. He put it down, he said, and he gave me another one. I still couldn't see anything. It's all dots. He gave me 6. And he said, you're colourblind. Because by this time, I was incandescent with bloody rage. I said to him, colourblind? I'm not fucking colourblind, you stupid cunt. I said, I'm a police officer. When I joined the Met Police, I was given a proper colour test. Not all these bloody cards. And I swung my arm and I swept all cards right off his table. And the medical officer came across. He said, what's the trouble? I said, this bloke says I'm colourblind. I said, I'm a police officer. He said, I heard all that. And I said, well, I tell you this. I said, I live about a mile from here. And I said, all last night, I was up putting out incendiaries. I said, that might have had some effect on my vision. He said, right, come with me. So he took me into a room and he said, sit in that chair. And I was facing a wall, and on it was a dial, rather like the old-fashioned telephone dial, with about 20 holes in it. The holes were about 1 inch in diameter. And he switched this thing on, and then he started to turn it. And all different colours came up as he turned. And I kept telling him what the colour was. He kept switching back from red to green. And he went on and on. And he said, right. And he came out with me. And he said to the sergeant who was in charge of the colour vision, he said, this man is not colourblind. So I was passed. When we went to advanced flying school in the States, on to Harvard's, at Dothan, Alabama, they gave us a medical. In fact, we were, I think, some of the first people to have this mass chest X-ray. It only came to England after the war. And the other thing was, they found two of the blokes on our course had got patches on their lungs, and so they were out. Then, of course, we had the eyesight tests, 20/20 vision, colour vision. Out came these damn cards. A Japanese, I don't know what the name is.
Ishihara test.
Yeah. Showed me on. He showed me about 10, and I couldn't get them. He said, and then of course I was, by this time I was up in the air, and I started to go off, and he said, if you were in the United States Army Air Corps, you would be eliminated now. He said, you're in the RAF, all I'm going to do is submit this chart with your medical records, and it's up to the RAF what they want to do. All right, so that was lovely. I was able to finish my course. When we graduated, they gave us, we had to go up by train from Dothan to Moncton in Canada, and they gave all of us a big buff envelope with all our records in them. So we went up to Canada, into a transit camp at Moncton, and there I steamed open my big envelope with the kettle very carefully, took out all my records, and there on this separate sheet was this colour blind test. So I simply unstapled it, took it off, put the staples back in, sealed up the envelope and tore it away. And I'm still waiting to hear about a court-martial. And that's it.
Thank you very much, Cyril.
It was worth hearing that one, wasn't it?
It was.